FBI get a warrant on Hunter Biden the way it did on Carter Page? That's the question I want answered. If they were that worried about Russian interference in the 2016 election via the Trump campaign's Carter Page, why aren't they that worried about Chinese and Russian interference now in the 2020 election via Joe Biden's son, Hunter? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish Regan. According to reporting from the New York Post, the FBI is said to have been in possession of a laptop containing sensitive alleged emails between Hunter Biden and a Ukrainian energy company executive, as well as Hunter Biden communicating with his associates about his dealings with a Chinese energy company executive. So now congressional Republicans, rightly so, are asking questions. They want to know why no one said boo during the whole impeachment trial. The impeachment, remember that, over a phone call? In a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray, they write, and I quote, "If the FBI was, in fact, in possession of this evidence and failed to alert the White House to its existence, that would have given even more weight to the president's legal defense. This was a gross error in judgment and a severe violation of trust." I'd say. Meanwhile, if the FBI had the laptop, as the New York Post says it did, and by the way, the source of the laptop, a computer repair shop owner out of Delaware who insists it was just left there at his shop, then why didn't the FBI start an investigation, right? It seems federal authorities are trying to determine if these emails can be authenticated, because now we've learned that the FBI is investigating whether a Russian influence operation was behind the disclosure of emails purporting to document the Ukrainian and Chinese business dealings of Hunter Biden. They're basically saying Rudy Giuliani, who was given a copy, by the way, of the computer's hard drive by the computer repair shop owner. Computer repair shop owner apparently turned it over to the FBI and saved the copy for Rudy, former mayor of New York. Well, he may, according to them, be being used by the Russians. I mean, this is all so insane. It's insane. And you know what? There are two people that could clear this up: Hunter and Joe Biden. Hunter seems to be under a rock somewhere. And his dad, Joe Biden, well, he's actually attacking the reporter who dared to ask a question about this. So much for freedom of the press, right? I have a lot to say on that coming up. But first, let's just get back to the FBI for a minute, because why is the FBI so anxious to cover for Biden, yet was rapidly attempting to go after Trump? I mean, none of this makes any sense. If the emails and the computer are fake, then why don't they just tell us that, right? Well, one of the big issues is this alleged meeting between the Ukrainian energy company executive and Joe Biden, who was then the vice president of the United States in charge of Ukraine policy. And it was allegedly set up by Hunter Biden, or so it seems in the emails. The Biden camp, they're saying, there's no such official record of this meeting. But then the Biden camp admits to Politico that, well, it could have been an off-the-books meeting. So, you know, who knows? Meanwhile, a source on the alleged email chain between Hunter Biden and his associates talking about compensation from the Chinese energy company, well, that source is confirming these emails to Fox. Look, if this is a disinformation campaign, I would say this: the Russians don't have to work that hard, right? I said from the entire beginning of this whole ordeal, right back to the Christopher Steele so-called dossier, we have a media that is all too willing, ready, and able to report anything it sees as anti-Trump. You know, and so they're there, ready to kind of serve it up. And that contributes, if you would, to this discord that we're seeing in society. And these reporters, well, they're backed by these big institutions. They're backed by big tech. You know, but the minute the tables turn, the minute the intelligence could actually hurt the left, well, suddenly now it's like somehow a lie. I mean, don't forget, we had a 2+ year investigation, the whole Mueller investigation into Russia. And we had, you know, $30+ million of our taxpayer money that was spent on all of that. And now they're saying it's all just misinformation. Meanwhile, Joe Biden, as I said, instead of clearing this up, he's out there attacking the reporter who, frankly, is just doing his job, right? He's now in trouble with Joe Biden because he asked the question. Here's Joe Biden scolding the CBS News reporter.
And Mr. Biden, what is your response to the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Right up your alley. Those are questions you always ask.
Ow. Ouch. I mean, let's be clear. Isn't this the kind of thing that Joe Biden keeps faulting his competitor, Donald Trump, for? Right? The double standard here is off the charts. Just answer the question, sir, please, and tell us the truth. I mean, you are running for president of the United States, for goodness sakes. Coming up, the effort to shut down this story. Shut it down by big tech and big media. I'm on it. You know, I don't think I've ever felt so vulnerable in my career as a journalist, whether it was the leftist media's attacks on me for daring to say that the media had politicized coronavirus, which it had, right? You had a chorus that was entirely directed against the president for his handling of coronavirus. Somehow, Governor Cuomo was like the hero in all that, whereas Trump got it all wrong. It's because they politicized it. They absolutely did. I was right. You know, or whether, by the way, it's Twitter or Facebook or YouTube shutting down this New York Post story, I'm starting to question what has happened to our First Amendment. Really, our freedom of speech, it is very much under attack. All the more reason, I suppose, to get Amy Coney Barrett in there ASAP. The Women's March doesn't want that. You know, we saw this weekend, they're out there protesting, of course, Amy Coney Barrett. But I'll tell you, you need a complete court right now for obvious reasons. One, we don't know that we're going to have a real clear outcome in this election. And two, because there are freedoms that are under attack, whether it be our freedom of speech, our freedom to protect ourselves, or our freedom to prosper. I mean, all of these things are really getting lost, in part because there's no more individual. And I have more on that in a second, but that's one of the big concerns. So we're witnessing effectively this total attack on our freedom of speech. I mean, who the heck is Jack Dorsey to decide, the founder of Twitter, by the way, and CEO of the company, who is he to decide what we can or cannot read? I mean, if the New York Post publishes a story and they're standing behind the story, we're not allowed to read that. We're not allowed to see that. Jack decides, or Facebook decides, or YouTube decides, oh, we're going to demonetize Trish Regan's account because we don't think she's advertiser friendly because she's talking about the Hunter Biden story. And apparently you're not allowed to talk about the Hunter Biden story, or we are going to just shut down, lock the Trump campaign's Twitter account days before an election because they dared to share the story, or you know, the head of the PR department at the White House because she dared to share the New York Post story. I mean, really, really, what's going on? I think that we need to be asking these questions, and we need to be holding these big, big companies accountable, because there seems to be this effort, if you would. And in part, I would argue that it's this entrenchment of, you know, leftists or political, former political operatives that are now, in many cases, in very senior positions in these tech companies. And so there's this sort of incestuous, you know, back and forth that exists within so many of these institutions. And I would include media in this as well. And so this contributes to an environment where you have only one side that's tolerated, only one side that's allowed. And that's not good for our society, right? I mean, we crave diversity. It's one of our greatest strengths. And intellectual diversity is part of that. So you can't just, you know, cover your ears and say, I'm not going to hear the other side. That is not how we progress as a society. But that is exactly what is happening right now. So I have a lot of concerns, a lot of concerns, and you should too. Anyway, speaking of concerns, oh my gosh, we're spending like drunken sailors out there. I mean, they just can't stop spending. We're supposed to bring this under control, but good luck right now in the middle of coronavirus. I've got some new numbers to share with you next. Okay, very quickly, before I get to these new debt numbers, I do want to share this with you. Polling data so far, this is brand new, coming out over the weekend. Polling data is indicating that President Trump is actually faring better since this news was broken by the New York Post of these rather scandalous alleged emails regarding Hunter Biden's overseas relationship and his business dealings. All of that has kind of taken its toll on the Biden camp. Biden's still in the lead, but according to this IBD-TIPP national tracking poll that was released again over the weekend, it's putting Biden at 50% in a head-to-head matchup with Trump at 43%. So Biden's support has actually fallen a couple of percentage points since the story in the Post came out. I suspect because people really don't like the idea of this. They don't like the idea of their leaders being corrupt, right? And the idea that somebody might be on the take from the Chinese, the Ukrainians, the Russians, you name it, that's going to be problematic. And so increasingly, we're seeing this in his polling data. We'll see how this all shakes out. Meanwhile, let's move on to the lockdown and what it's costing our economy. We know it's costing our economy, right? We've seen that in the GDP numbers for the second quarter. Hopefully that's going to improve. But nonetheless, you saw a real drop off. You saw a huge drop off in retail sales. That's now since picked up. But nonetheless, I mean, it was pretty severe if you go back to the sort of the thick of the lockdown there in March. And a New York federal judge is ruling that the governor of New York has the right to shut down as many businesses as he wants to. Fortunately, they decided against that in the Supreme Court in Michigan because Governor Whitmer was really keen on all of those lockdowns. Anyway, Governor Cuomo also rather keen on them. And the judge is currently ruling, the federal judge, that, yeah, it's okay, despite the fact that it's going to cost these individual businesses a ton of money. And despite the fact that it could really have devastating consequences on the state of New York and the city, by the way, of New York City, which is like a ghost town right now. Meanwhile, no one seems to care about any of the money all of this is costing us in terms of individuals and individual business owners and in terms of what we're going to have to pay out in the future. You know, I know nobody wants to hear this, but the reality is we don't have this kind of money, right? And we're talking about $3.13 trillion that we spent more than we collected in taxes in the fiscal year 2020. So this is like par for the course, but now it's like much more extravagant, I would say, our spending, because we're having to borrow all this money. Now, the good news is borrowing costs are super low. You know, the 10-year treasury is down 57% from the expiration of the last fiscal year. And so, like, you can borrow money for nothing, thankfully, because we are still the world's reserve currency. But don't take that for granted. If you do not have any kind of fiscal restraint, you are in risk of losing that status. You have China working aggressively behind the scenes, courting all the Europeans, trying to convince them that the yuan should be the world's reserve currency. I don't see it happening in the near future, but let's be very clear. There are a lot of people that do. And let's be very clear, the Chinese want that. And right now, with this massive debt load on our plate, I mean, if those interest rates go up, how the heck are we ever going to get out of that debt? Right? I mean, we're lucky right now that money is so cheap, but it's not going to be forever. So I leave you with that on this wonderful weekend. And remember, download this podcast, share it with your friends, go to trishintel.com, sign up for the email. They are very much trying to take away the truth and take away a point of view. And it's important that we embrace a lot of different viewpoints right now, because if we don't, I'm not quite sure what the consequences are. Again, wonderful to have you here. I will see you on trishintel.com, and I'll be back here tomorrow.